Good Wednesday morning back here on the Ag Leader KBUF. C.D. DeSalvo here, and I'm joined this morning by K-State Research and Extension Randall Curry with us. And so, Randall, what is your kind of your specialty with Kansas State Research and Extension?
Killing weeds on time and under budget. I do research on how to do that.
That's a pretty important job.
There's always weeds. They'll always be with us.
And so I guess kind of just talk about what your job, you work with farmers, what's usually your job entail?
My main function is research. I work on herbicides before they come to market.
Okay.
And I try to anticipate problems that are going to happen with producers before they happen. And one of the things I'd like to talk about today is the possibility of putting pre-emergent herbicides on in the winter. We did some work, Kurt Thompson and I, at Tribune here in Garden and here in Garden City, where we showed that you could. It's not as silly as it sounds. When the weather's nice like this in January and February, it's not insane to go ahead and put your pre-emergence herbicides on for kochia control. It is a little better to wait until March, but if it rains and snows and you can't get in the field and put the herbicide on the ground, it would have been better if you put it on in February. So it's kind of a chicken and egg question. And if you have 10,000 acres to spray, it might behoove you to do part of it now, or not now, but in the near future. And I had an old farmer one time, he said, I like to use that pre-emergency herbicide. It's not pre-emergency, it's pre-emergency. So putting a pre on prior to putting the post on usually is a less stressful thing to do. We showed that a variety of tank mixes with dicamba or dicamba and atrazine, dicamba and isoxaflutol balance, there's several compounds that can be put on in late January and early February that will give you outstanding pre-emergent control of kochia. And it's important to do pre-emergent control of kochia because one of the more important compounds we have now with Star-Rayne or fluroxypyr is a good post-emergence compound. So if you don't kill them pre, which is the preferred case, we've been able to save our bacon by coming back with a post-emergence application of Star-Rayne. And we may have relied on that too much because last year I had some Star-Rayne resistant kochia up there at the experiment station, 4500 East Mary, Garden City, Kansas. So it's not a far off thing that's happening. It's happening here and now. That's the bad news. The good news is that fluroxypyr resistance or Star-Rayne resistance has happened before. It has happened in the Dakotas maybe as much as a dozen years ago. So we're fortunate that the genes for resistance also make the plant kind of a wiener. So if you switch up your herbicides and you don't use fluroxypyr, you don't use Star-Rayne for a number of seasons, the resistance goes away. This is not true of atrazine resistance, not true of ALS resistance, not true of many types of resistance. But we're lucky on the kochia that it appears that there is a fitness cost or a penalty to the plant to have this resistance. We're not exactly sure why that is, but we're in the process of researching it. There's a really nice paper done by one of my colleagues at Hayes, Vipin Kumar, and it shows that some of the resistance plants to dicamba have delayed emergence. They have slower emergence, which is bad if you're competing with your susceptible cohort. Your best competitor for a weed is a weed just exactly like it. So when kochia comes up, it has 500 brothers and sisters all around it competing for resources. So if they all come back in that mat, not all of those kochia are going to live. So some of those are going to go ahead and kill out their brothers and sisters beside them. So if you have an early emerging kochia that is susceptible, it's crowding out the resistant counterpart. However, if you put your herbicide on and you select against the susceptible ones, then the resistant ones come up later. So the plants have adapted a delayed emergence to avoid being attacked by that post-emergence herbicide, which is good if you put the herbicide on, and from the weed's perspective, it's bad if you don't put the herbicide on because then they are competing with their susceptible brothers and sisters. So that's kind of where we're at. There's several things we can put on pre-emergence. Sulfentrazone is a good one. Mesotrione has been promising. There's lots of things we can do. Fortunately, or unfortunately, depending on your perspective, we sprayed strips with Star-Rayne. and it didn't, it killed probably 30% of it. And then we sprayed it three more times at twice the label rate, and they all survived. So those rascals are tough. And then we sprayed them with dicamba and verbenvil, and that kind of hurt them. But when we put Star Rain and dicamba together, we got a lot more of them. Now, when we sprayed just Star Rain in a 40 by a 15 by 40 foot strip, we probably had several thousand. When we sprayed it with dicamba and Star Rain, we had a dozen. So a dozen is a dozen too many, which means the resistance genes for that are certainly present to have resistance to dicamba and Star Rain simultaneously, which is bad. The plants were small and not thrifty. They never got more than 6 or 8 inches tall. So we're hoping that those plants are also have a fitness cost, but we don't know. But seed from all of that was collected, and some of that's in Indianapolis in a greenhouse right now with the Corteva and the Dow DuPont group studying that. We're going to send that to Manhattan, and one of my colleagues, Mithla Jugalam, is going to look at the way that herbicide is absorbed and translocated, and we'll get to the bottom of exactly how it works, and when we know how it works, we'll know how to kill it.
All right, Randall, anything else that you wanted to talk about today?
No, I think that'll do it, buddy.
All right, that's Randall Curry, K-State Research and Extension, joining us here on the Ag Leader, KBUF. And real quick, if you want to tell, if people have a question, farmers have questions for you, how would they get a hold of you?
I would Google up Southwest Research and Extension Center.